Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
The first team that we're going to talk about in the NFL is the team that's closest to my heart, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to be very biased about this, and that is my favorite team, the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans are located in Nashville, Tennessee, and play at a stadium called Nissan Stadium. They were founded in 1999, but actually the team itself was founded in 1960 when Bud Adams and other men began the Foolish Club, that is, the owners of the AFL who decided to compete against the NFL. They were known at that time as the Houston Oilers. The Houston Oilers were very successful in the first couple of years of the AFL. They won the first two AFL championships. And in fact, when you look at that time, you will see that their second draft pick, their second number one draft pick, was a man named Mike Ditka. Now, he didn't play for them, but it's interesting to see that they picked Mike Ditka as their number one draft pick in 1961. The Tennessee Titans became the Tennessee Titans in 1999, but from 1996 to 1999, when the Houston Oilers left, they actually played in Memphis, Tennessee, and then they played at Vanderbilt Stadium, and they were known as the Tennessee Oilers at that time, which was funny because living in Tennessee, we don't have oil here. If we want oil, we go to the store and buy Mobil 1. We were thinking that can't be the name that they would pick. But Bud Adams decided to call himself to call his team the Tennessee Titans, because Nashville is considered the Athens of the South, and Titans represent the epitome of what men would want to be. The Tennessee Titans sport 19 people who have either played or coached for them at one time or another in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. 19 people. Their total team stats, they have 440 wins, 470 losses, in six ties, so we got to work on getting back to 500 with that. They are 17-21 in the postseason. No Super Bowl wins yet, and that's a big yet. And again, as I say, that they have two AFL championships. One of the things about the Titans that you as a fan should understand is that we don't have a very long tradition here in Nashville, but we do have some impressive moments. In 1999-2000, in fact, in January 8, 2000, the Music City Miracle took place. Now, our Buffalo Bills friends may not like that moment, but that is a special moment. And as I'm sitting here in my office recording this, I'm looking across and I'm seeing a picture of Kevin Dyson running down the field to score the touchdown to win that game. And yes, it was a legal play. Frank Wycheck threw a legal pass. The Houston Oilers, they do have a great history to talk about. The Love You Blue era in 1970 with Bum Phillips and Earl Campbell, who's one of the greatest running backs of all time. We see so many different people come through there. Even Ken Stabler and Archie Manning came through there. When they came over to Nashville, we see that they brought over a man named Jeff Fisher to be their coach, and he is the winningest coach in Tennessee Titans, Houston Oilers history. On April 4th, 2018, just to unveil new uniforms, downtown Nashville had over 10,000 fans to watch the unveiling of the Titans' latest uniforms. Nashville is fully on board with their Tennessee Titans. During the 50th anniversary of the AFL, the Titans played against the New York Jets. The Jets were once known as the New York Titans. On that day, the Titans played the Oilers. And I had to make sure that I was paying attention to that because I say, go Titans, but I'm actually rooting for the New York Jets instead of the Tennessee Titans, who were the Houston Oilers that day. And I want to share a story with you. And in fact, before I share a story with you, I would be amiss if I didn't mention that the Titans played in one of the best Super Bowls of all time, Super Bowl 34, ending up 1 yard short from tying the game against Kurt Warner and the St. Louis Rams. But I want to share a story with you by Jim Wyatt from the book Titans Sideline. It's talking about one of the greatest players in Titans history. That is Bruce Matthews. If Cal Ripken is known as baseball's Iron Man, then Bruce Matthews has to qualify as the NFL's version. During his 19-year career, Matthews played in more games than any full-time position player in league history, 296. He started every game from November 29, 1987, until he retired at the end of the 2000 season. He is blessed with good health and a body that was able to withstand the grind in the NFL year after year after year. Matthews, who played every position on the offensive line during his career, was selected by the Houston Oilers in the 1983 draft. He was named to 14 Pro Bowls. Over the year, he blocked for 15 different quarterbacks and 28 different running backs. That is one of the greatest players in Houston Oilers Tennessee Titans history. We've had several. Men like Steve McNair and Eddie George, Earl Campbell, Chris Johnson, who was one of just a few men who rushed for over 2,000 yards. One of the best seasons I've ever seen a team play at that point. There's your little bit of a history of the Tennessee Titans. Now, as we go through this, I want to also share the history of some of the other teams, some of the teams that you may like. And if you want to be part of this show, if you want to be part of the show to share your story about your team and what makes your team special and what makes it family, you can message me on Twitter at Jeremy_McFarland, at Jeremy, J-E-R-E-M-Y, underscore M-C-F-A-R-L-I-N. And we'll see if we can get you on this podcast. But this podcast is not just about history. This is about the fan experience that makes football family. So at the end of every episode, I would like to have an interview with a fan. And this week's interview is a fun one for everyone to enjoy. And can you give me your names, please, and a little bit of background?
I'm Marilyn, and
I'm Ward.
Okay.
And we are football fans, and we are Titan fans.
See, you're the best kind of fans. And the one thing that people are going to understand about this podcast is, yes, I am biased. I am extremely biased, and I'm not ashamed of it. Tell me, the podcast is called Football is Family, and that's what it's going to be called. That's where I'm going with right now. What makes football family to you? I know the background because I've known y'all for a while, but please let everybody know.
Well, Jeremy, when it was first announced that the Houston Oilers were coming to Nashville to become what would ultimately be the Tennessee Titans, we got excited about that because we've always been pro football fans in our house. This gave us an opportunity to bring that a lot closer to where we live. As you know, we're an hour and 15 minutes from Nashville. So we sort of bought the bullet in the very beginning and put our names in for our PSLs in the very beginning. So we are founder PSL owners. That was exciting. That's what got it all started. And then as you participate and you become a little more vested or a lot more vested in the team itself, and you just kind of get into it and kind of become a part of it, it in turn becomes a part of you. At the time this all started, our youngest daughter was a very young girl. How old was she? I don't remember exactly.
She was 10 or 11.
10 or 11. And her passion for football increased with her participation as we trekked off to Nashville and started out as very novice tailgaters. Obviously, our field of experience in that, certainly in the pro realm, was nothing. And so we sort of fumbled our way around into that, and we found it was something we all enjoyed. Our older children also became involved and would come in and be a part. So it became kind of like a family camping thing, if you will. That's kind of how it all got started for us. And it just grew from there.
Well, we had all gathered around pro football before we had any idea that the Titans would locate here in Nashville.
Now, what were your teams before the Titans came?
Well,
Pittsburgh Steelers.
He was a Steelers fan.
Okay,
and
we're going to mute Ward for a minute.
Yeah, I was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And of all the teams in the league at that time to be coming to Nashville, the Houston Oilers was my least favorite because of the Steelers connection back when, before the league realigned, you know, the Oilers and the Steelers were in the same division.
Was it the Central, the AFC Central, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And so anyway, I was a little reluctant in the very first. In fact, our first Titan versus Steeler game in Nashville, we went as a house divided. We split Mallory right down the middle from the top of her head. Down we inlaid different jerseys and had her sewed up, yellow this half, blue this half, you know. And bless her heart, she...
The car was split down the middle,
too. So, you know, we've had that kind of fun with it. And then, of course, as I said a few minutes ago, the more vested you become in it, you let those old passions go, and I let those old Steelers go, although I still have fond memories of all the guys I enjoyed playing.
What about you, Miss Marilyn? What were you before?
Well, I was more of a Chicago Bears fan because I loved the coaching style of Mike Ditka. It was, you know, just hard-nosed football. And I have watched football since I was in the seventh grade. And then our son played football when he was little. So we all were around football. As a matter of fact, one year for an anniversary present, I surprised Ward with a trip to Pittsburgh to watch the Steelers play. And this was before we had any idea that there would be a team here. And it just so happened that we were playing the Tennessee Oilers.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We ran into some of the parents in the parking lot of the Oilers parents who, you know, had their campers around for their tailgates. But we came back with some Steeler paraphernalia. And every time the Steelers would play, our youngest daughter would delight in hiding it from her dad so he couldn't get it out. And that was always quite a production. But even her, before she started kindergarten, you could show her an NFL logo and she could tell you the name of the team and where they were. It was just always football.
It's good parenting.
In kindergarten, all the rest of the little girls had Holly Hobby backpacks. She had a Brett Favre backpack.
Real good parenting. Now, y'all are not y'all who are listening to this podcast are not seeing the videos I am. Miss Marilyn's wearing her football earrings, and she has a Taylor DeJuan jersey on. Mr. Ward is decked out in his white Tennessee Titans shirt, and I am envious of the jersey, number one. Whenever I buy a jersey, people tend to leave. So I don't want to buy a LeJuan jersey yet.
It's hard these days.
Well, I bought a Derrick Henry jersey, and I'm scared to wear it because I don't want him to go anywhere to get hurt. So, and what they were saying is in 1997, the Oilers came to Memphis, and as they were building what is now Nissan Stadium, but at the time it was the Coliseum, Arkadelphia Coliseum, I believe is what they called it.
Adelphia.
That's right. Adelphia. Thank you. I keep messing that up for some reason, then became, you know, LP Field, and then it became Nissan Stadium. In order to raise funds for the stadium, they sold what is called PSLs, that you got to pick whatever seat you wanted to, and then you bought the season tickets. And you have been in the seat since, what is it, 99 that the Titans came here. So you've had the same
founder PSL owners.
Okay.
We've actually swapped sections from the very beginning.
Oh, okay.
For many years, we were in the upper deck, section 307. We bought tickets with a friend of ours that we bought three seats. He bought three seats, so we had six in a row there. But we climbed those walkways for all those years.
It's a goat path.
The year that we sold those PSLs and bought ours down below, which is where we are now, they put an elevator in. And so now everybody in the upper deck can ride the elevator. But
The first year that they put the elevator in, they wouldn't let people ride it unless they were infirmed. And my wife was pregnant with Kelsey at the time, but wasn't showing. And Kelsey is my middle daughter. And so they wouldn't let her ride the elevator up. And I'm like, come on, she's pregnant. No, she's not. They thought we were messing, but now it's just like,
hey,
it is what it is.
It's that face, Jeremy.
Trust me, it's, I have a face for radio. I really do.
Let me tell you about our relocation, because this is a good story.
Okay.
So we had the three seats because our youngest daughter was still at home when we bought these. So she got married, and there was quite a dilemma between she and her fiancé. They couldn't decide whether to buy season tickets from the Titans or whether to have a live band at their wedding. The PSLs won.
They should. You can.
So they bought theirs, and then we sold the three, and we managed to get exactly the row behind them, two seats down with our new seats.
Good stuff. Now, her daughter and her husband, I did their wedding, and they are, I envy them their Titanness. They are Titans fans like I want to be. And that's something with the next question is, what drew you to the Titans in the first place? And is it simply because of the location more than anything?
It was for me, because we could go to these games, and we even discussed the fact that, you know, we didn't know that we would eventually become huge Titan fans, but we talked about the teams and the players that we would get to see.
Yes.
Every time they played here.
Yeah. And it's not only players, Jeremy. What we found, what was kind of evolved with us, I think for all of us, aside from the fact that it is a time we spend together, it's kind of unusual times, you know, we throw in and cook a meal and that kind of thing and prep for the game and so forth. But the other side of that is every week you meet people from all over the country who are coming in here as visiting fans. And it's just very interesting to interact with those, and their attitudes are from one end of the range to the other, you know, as far as they enjoy Nashville. They talk about what a great city it is. It certainly has been a positive on the national scene for not only Nashville, but for Tennessee. Yeah. And hopefully some of that would filter down into, you know, the rural communities that we're in. But meeting those fans is always a lot of fun. You never know what you're going to—it's like Forrest Gump's box of chocolates. You really don't know what you're going to get when these guys walk up to your grill and they're all decked out and flamed up or whatever.
I tell you what, I've only was scared one time with a fan base, and that would be the now Las Vegas Raiders. They come out with spikes, and they're into it.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of – well, they all are, really. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Philadelphia, Eagles, yes. The Raiders, you know, they always bring huge crowds. Cleveland brings some interesting people.
When we went to the draft, I met a lot of Cleveland fans, mm-hmm. and talked to them. And I tell you what, they are – you know, knowing what they have been through in the past since 99 is themselves, they are dedicated people.
They are that.
Yes.
And then you got the Jaguars. I mean, good grief. Bless their hearts. I'm glad to see him come north and enjoy a few minutes of quality life. I mean,
well, it's,
excuse me, you might want to edit that out.
No, we're leaving that one in there.
We went, the reason I said we went to Jacksonville, certainly for the AFC playoff game the year yes. we went to the Super Bowl. We were at their home.
Oh, okay.
And interacted with them, and that was very interesting.
They
again, we were all new at this.
But I tell you, that experiencing, and you were just talking there about some special memories. Y'all have, and I know you have special memories, but I want to focus on one thing in particular. Y'all went to the game in Baltimore this past year, didn't you?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to make it clear here that I don't hate any team, but I despise the Baltimore Ravens. And that's just because of 2000, 99, 2000, and 2001.
Yes.
That is it. I'm bitter and I'm okay with that. Can you tell me, with that memory in mind, what was your highlight this past year with you being a Titans fan?
Well, I'd say that's it for me.
Baltimore.
Baltimore was because, number one, we're certainly not Baltimore Raven fans. We do have history with them. We had history. We were there in Nashville when they
killed us.
Clean out. But even prior to that,
that hurts.
I will say this. Where we tailgate is on the river side, on the Nashville side of the river.
Yes.
So those fans that are staying downtown and coming by, they come right by where we're at. In years past, Brian Billick, who was the coach at that time of the Raven, he walked from his hotel room over to the stadium, which put him on the sidewalk going right by us, which I think is a class act and a very brave move on his part, especially given the atmosphere at that time. But those were fun kind of days. Now, that doesn't happen anymore. Like that, but going to Baltimore, that was an incredible experience. Hats off to them; they've got a quality stadium,
gorgeous
facility, and all that up there. And the people were very, very nice to us up there.
Yes,
they were
in the very beginning, and of course, it got a little worse as the game went on. But
well, the memory
we had a ball up there.
Well, the memory I have in 2000 was when Ray Lewis took the ball from Eddie George, and that was that hurt.
But the people in Baltimore were happy with us because we put the Patriots out.
I think we had about 30 teams that were happy with us at 30.
Yes.
And they've been talking about them ever since.
Let's a couple more questions for you, if you would, please. Do you have, and I'm number four I had on that list. We're going to skip it because you've already answered that. What are your favorite all-time Titans?
Well, of course, you know, the classic guy, Wycheck.
Yes.
Our daughter was the original Wycheck, by the way. That's what we deemed her. But Wycheck, McNair, Eddie, Keith Bullock.
Oh, yeah.
I'd even throw Derek Mason in there, although he – befriended us and became a Raven, but
so does Steve, so we don't hold that against them.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But Derek Mason was a very nice young man. We had dinner with him one evening.
Did you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing when you look at these guys and you see them, they're superheroes. They're massive guys. You would think with the money they make, but when you look at and talk to people like you just have a moment like Marcus Mariota, very down to earth young man.
Oh yeah.
I hate that it didn't work out in Tennessee. Lord willing, he has a good season in Las Vegas without beating us.
Yeah.
But you know, when you talk to people and you say, well, who are your favorite players? There's a reason for that. And maybe because you met them or they reached out to you or see my favorite all time. I'm looking across. I have a Eddie George. I got to meet him. Highlight right there.
Yeah.
And then the first training camp I went to for the Titans, I got to meet Frank Wycheck, got his autograph. His jersey is in a place of honor for me that I have. So, you know, that's what makes football special. People who don't understand that, you don't meet these guys, you don't get to know these guys, but at the same time, they are still something to. Now, where were you when the Music City Miracle happened?
Section 307 and those original PSL seats sitting right in front of a Buffalo fan in an Andre Reed jersey who just jumped up and threw his confetti with 8 seconds still left on the clock.
Well, in case you are a little bit younger, the Music City Miracle, Google it and make sure that you look at the video with Mike Keith and I think Larry Stone. No. I cannot think of his color commentator at the time. But Google it and make sure that you're listening to that broadcast. Now, I was listening to a podcast recently from the Titans that they were telling a story. And the color commentator now, and my mind is just blank, but he was working with Jeff Fisher at the time on the staff, and they were going up to Buffalo. And as they were going up to Buffalo, they was on a, I think it was a Monday night game or a Sunday night game, whatever it was, they had to introduce the players. And so he said, "Coach, what players do you want to be introduced?" And he said, "Introduce the special teams." It was a year afterwards. Introduce the special teams. And as people started to notice the special teams come out, he started hearing the boos get louder until Kevin Dyson, who ran it back, got introduced and people caught what Jeff Fisher was doing. Now, I laughed at that. And I just, I thought, yeah, that sounds like Jeff Fisher. I got one other question for you. And you guys go to all the games. I see pictures of you at the games and you tailgate.
Yeah.
Do you have any special rituals that you do before the game?
Socks.
Well, we have socks.
Socks
that have to be the same socks every time till we have a bad game and then you can wash them.
Yes, do not wash your clothes if they're on a winning streak.
Exactly.
Actually, Jeremy, you were talking about the original Coliseum, the Adelphia Coliseum. I have a silk flag, banner-type flag, from the inaugural game in that stadium. And the way I got that was I was standing on my grill over on the sidewalk on Gay Street, and a guy came by trying to sell this flag. And I wasn't really interested in it, but I asked him how much he wanted for it. It was $8. Now, this was in, 1999 or 2000, whatever the year was. And so I said, "You know, man, I don't think so." And he said, "Well, what is that you're cooking?" And I said, "Well, I'm grilling pork chops, and we're going to fry some eggs here in a little bit." And he thought that was interesting, and he went on. And a few minutes, he came back, and he still had that flag. And he said, "You know, I can't seem to sell this flag. Would you trade that for?" I said, "Yeah, I'll trade it for a pork chop sandwich." So we still have that flag, by the way, and it sits in our tailgate bag. So we fly that. That's kind of a ritual, I suppose. And that's the reason for that. But
and it's Dave McGinnis. I apologize, Coach McGinnis. Your name went. It just left my head. So that's a ritual. You wear paint, don't you, Miss Marilyn? I've seen you paint your face up a little bit.
I wear a little bit of everything. One ritual that we have that's at Thanksgiving, just about everybody up and down the street where we tailgate, we all get together and have a big Thanksgiving meal. And everybody brings and contributes different things to it. And then at Christmas, we always put up a Titan Christmas tree, and people come and have their pictures made in front of it.
It's a photo op for anybody down there. And believe me, they take advantage of that.
I'm coming this year. I have in my office right here a little Titans Christmas tree. Let me think that yours is a lot bigger. So I will wear a mask, and I will come and get my picture taken this year.
Come on.
Again, the mask won't be required by Christmas, but you never
hey, it is what it is. I said, folks, I am biased. These are two great people. If you are at Nissan Stadium, you'll probably hear her before you see her. That's just how that works. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think I have I've heard her a couple times when I've been there too. Guys, I want to thank you so much for your time. And this is why football is family to me. So I appreciate it, Ward and Marilyn. I appreciate that.
Go Titans.
Tighten up.
Tighten up.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser-known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.